name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. He's worthy. He's worthy. The Lord is doing some amazing things. Chance, can I get you to come up here to get your baptismal certificate? The Lord is doing some awesome things in the church. It's kind of baffling to me, since I've been preaching for 6 years or so, there's always one thing that caught my eye almost every time. It was that spot right there. And it's not there anymore. It's still not done, but it's not there anymore. It's awesome to see how the Lord moves. It's awesome to see how the Lord works in our lives every day. Again, I just want to thank the people that came on Saturday. We were here for about 5 hours cleaning. When I say that there was dust, I mean there was dust. Probably about like half an inch of dust just all over the stage, all over the pews. It was a mess, but I'm going to kick that a lot. But it's awesome to see God moving. This is why we should speak the name of Jesus. Amen, church. He can actually change people's lives. He can actually transform lives. This is amazing to me to see a God who loves us and cares for us in a mighty way. Not to just leave us the same, but to actually mold us into His Son, Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God. I love the song that we sang, that we are justified by Christ and His righteousness. That is awesome to me. It is amazing to me to think of all the awesome things that He does every day. I want to read to you Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Listen to it closely. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen, church. This is why we're here. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. It's no longer about you anymore. It's about the King of glory. It's about righteousness. This is about Christ in our life. It's about Him, and it's no longer I live. I don't live for myself anymore. I don't live for my flesh. I live for Christ, because there's nothing better. I have faith in the Son of God. Amen, church? Amen. Who love me. Do you ever feel not loved in your life? Let me tell you, you're loved by the King of glory. You're loved by Christ, and He gave Himself for you on the cross. Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord. I hope this message today is an encouragement. Again, I was in Job for a long time. I was ready to get out of that book. A lot of depression. A lot of suffering. A lot of pain. We need to hear those messages, though. We need to hear them. But I pray this message is an encouragement to you this morning. But praise the Lord. Why? For He takes what is dead and makes it alive. Amen, church? He gives life. He transforms and He restores like no other. No one restores like the Lord does. He restores, and many believers don't live their lives as if God has transformed it. If God's made it new. Taken their old life and made it new. So let me ask you, church, do you live as if God has transformed your life? Do you live as He's actually changed it? That is so important. We're going to be in Philemon this morning. When I first became a believer, I used to call this book Philemon. Then I realized it's not called Philemon. It's called Philemon. Now, I'm sure other people pronounce it a little different. You'll see that all throughout the Bible. As you know, Phil Fisher might say one thing and I might say another thing. Luckily, the Lord works all that stuff out. I don't think He cares too much if we mispronounce one little name in the Bible. So just a little bit of context before we get started in this message. I love this book. It's so powerful. Let me just mention something before. Really, it was this book right here that really was the abolishment of slavery. Not a law, but it was the Word of God that started all of that. That's awesome. That is awesome. That is amazing. But at this time, Paul's on house arrest. He's in prison in Rome. And at that time, you can have visitors come. Remember, it's not like jail. It's not like prison we have today, where you get 3 meals and a TV to watch and weights to lift and basketball to play. You didn't have that back then. If you didn't have anybody to come and aid you, any visitors, you were pretty much not done. You didn't have a 3-course meal. People come and aided you. They gave you stuff. They prayed for you. They ministered to you. All those different things. And I want us to understand 3 people in this book. There's Paul. There's Philemon. There's Onesimus. This is important because Onesimus is a runaway slave, and Philemon is his master. And Paul is trying to reconcile that relationship. That's what we're going to see this morning. But this book is packed full of stuff. Not just on slavery, but it's packed full of some amazing, amazing things. In verse 1 of Philemon, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul, I love how he starts this letter off with Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. This wasn't a negative thing. This wasn't a bad thing. Rather, Paul used this as a badge of honor. Because let me tell you, Paul understood this one thing, this very thing, that it was better to be a prisoner of Christ than a prisoner of sin. It was better to be a slave or a servant to Jesus Christ than it was to be a slave to the world, because the world will give you nothing. It will lead to misery and death. But Christ leads to abundant life. Amen, church? Amen. This is why Paul could say, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Because there's nothing better to be a prisoner than Christ Jesus. And then he says to Philemon, our dear friend. This is Paul's dear friend. He loved him. It's his fellow worker. Worker in what? In the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it says to the church that meets in your home. See, this is, just so that we understand, this is how the early church was. They met in homes. They didn't have a building like this. They met in homes, and many times there was an overseer that would oversee all the house churches. That's pretty neat. Why did they do that? For one, they didn't have money for a building. But another thing is because they were severely persecuted. It was a lot easier to remain quiet inside of homes than it would be in a building like this. But see, here I want to just talk for just a minute about this idea. I think we've lost some of this aspect in our own homes. You know your home is supposed to be a place of worship. Here's the not so good part that we've done here in America. And many of us, not all of us, but many of us, is our home is our place and the church is God's place. Your home is not your place. It's God's place. Our home should be a place of worship, a place of prayer, a place to teach the Word of God. This is what we should use our homes for, a place where we use to share the gospel. Invite people into your homes and share the gospel. Many people come to Christ just by you inviting them to dinner. Maybe you've been a testimony to that. And listen to me closely. Your home is for the kingdom of God. You should be using your home every day for the kingdom of God. And this is what Philemon was doing when he was opening up his home, is that he was using it for the kingdom of God, using it for believers to come and worship the Lord, to build community together. And then it says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul loved Philemon here. He loved Philemon. And this is what we see in verse 4. It says, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your love for all of his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Amen, church. Think about this for a minute. Paul says to Philemon, I thank God. I thank God for you as I remember you in my prayers. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters and being thankful that they live for Christ, that they're faithful to Christ. And there's two things that Paul thanked God for Philemon for. It says that I hear that you love all of his holy people, that you love all of God's holy people, and that your faith in the Lord. This is what made Paul want to pray for Philemon. This is what made Paul want to thank God for Philemon. It's because he loved God's people and he had faith in the Lord. Oh, wow, do I wish as believers today we would do those two things more. That we would actually love God's holy people. There's way too much fighting in the church. Way too much fighting in the church. But he says, about your love for all of his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. And he says, I pray that your partnership with us in faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. See, Philemon refreshed people. He refreshed people. Why do we tear each other down so much? Rather than trying to refresh each other, to push them to joy and encouragement. This is what Paul says, your love has given me great joy. Can you think about Paul in prison and chains and shackles? But just because Philemon, his faith in the Lord and his love for God's people gave him great joy and encouragement. For what? For the sake of the gospel. To share the gospel. Why does it seem to be easier to share the gospel when we actually love each other? When we actually care for one another. Paul thanked God for Philemon. I wish we were like Philemon in this area, where we refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people, where we gave great joy and encouragement. That's what refreshes our heart. Joy and encouragement. Joy and encouragement. Verse 8. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold to order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is none other than Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful to both you and to me. This is amazing to me that Paul here is going to ask Philemon for a favor. He kind of butters him up just a little bit, too. What does he say here? He said, there's none other than Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner. Paul loved Onesimus, too. Paul loved Philemon, but Paul loved Onesimus, and I love this part. Paul often did this. Is the people that he would share Christ to, that would come to Christ, he called them his sons. Paul would say, my son Onesimus, or my son Timothy, or in the list goes on. This is, I wish we would do this, church. What do I mean by that? I mean that when you share the gospel and someone comes to Christ, I think you ought to love that person like a father loves their children. They're a new believer. They're a baby in Christ. They need someone to look after them. And Paul did this. They need someone to teach them and to love them, as Paul loved here, Onesimus. But here, this is kind of an interesting thing. Paul said, I could tell you to do it. Paul had the authority to do that. Because Paul was an apostle, he had the authority to tell Philemon to do what he ought to do. And Philemon probably would have done it. But what does he say? He says, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. See, at times Paul, as an apostle, would say, you have to do this, you need to do that. But there were other times that Paul didn't want Philemon to do this out of regret or out of anger or out of strife, but rather he wanted him to do it out of love, a genuine love for Onesimus. And then I love this part. In verse 11, it says, formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. What does that mean? Listen to me very closely. Without Christ, we're useless. Onesimus, a runaway slave, is useless because he didn't have Christ, but with Christ he's now become useful. This is so amazing. Think about that in your life, that without Christ there's no meaning or purpose in your life. Your life ultimately is meaningless. There's a whole book of Ecclesiastes on this idea. Life is utterly meaningless. Life is utterly meaningless. But with Christ there's meaning and purpose and value in all those things. It is God who gives all those things. Without Christ, I really want you to understand this morning. You're useless. You can't do anything. I as well, without Christ, cannot do anything. Just a clanging cymbal doesn't mean anything. But with Christ, it means everything for the sake of the kingdom of God. Without Christ, you can do nothing. But with Christ, you can do all things. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. I hope you're a testimony to this. And this is where this awesome part where in verse 12 it says, I am sending him who is my very heart back to you. And I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I do not want you to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you would do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. What is Paul telling Philemon here? He says, I want you to do what is right. I want you to do what is right, but not because I'm telling you to, but rather because you want to. This is why he says, I'm sending him back to you. I don't want to send him back. I love him. I love Onesimus. I share the gospel with him. I love him. He's helping me for the gospel's sake. I don't want to send him back, but he's a runaway slave. He's got to go back. He says, I'm sending him who is my very heart back to you. I would have liked to keep him, is what he says. So he could do what you would do. While I'm in chains for the gospel. But he doesn't want him to do it just because Paul wants him to. This is what we're going to see when we continue to go on. See, Onesimus is a runaway slave from his master. That's a serious thing. I want to clarify a couple things, because sometimes we can get these confused in America. This slavery that most 90% of the slavery you see in the Bible is not like slavery that was in America. That was evil, detestable, all those things. Most of the slavery you see in the Bible is actually like indentured servitude. What does that mean? It means you had a debt that was too big and you couldn't pay it off. So you would become a slave to whoever you were indebted to. There were other reasons as well. Maybe you were poor, you could just ask to be a slave. But once you were a slave, you're a slave. You're marked for that forever. There's no going back. And in Roman law at this time, if a runaway slave were to run away, many things could have happened. Most of the time you'd be branded for running away. But obviously the most extreme thing is you could be killed for running away. This is a big thing. Can you imagine Onesimus for just a minute? Even though he's come to Christ and he's become new and a new creation, he's got to go back to his master who could do anything he wanted to him. Slaves could be killed for much less. But running away was like, you didn't do that. But Paul wanted Philemon to understand this most amazing part. Listen to it very closely. This is my favorite part. Verse 15, it says, perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. Listen to it again. He says in verse 15, perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. This is amazing part because God transforms lives. See, Onesimus was once a slave, but he's no longer a slave anymore. What is he? He's a brother in Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul is urging Philemon to understand. He's urging Philemon to change his heart. That Onesimus, when he comes back to you, he's not coming back as a slave. He's not coming back as your slave. He's coming back as a brother in Jesus Christ. Is this not amazing in our life? Think about that with your relationship with Christ, that you were once dead in your sins, that you were a slave to sin. A slave to sin. But because Christ bought you back, because he brought you to God, you're no longer a slave anymore. You're free. And the Bible says free indeed. Why is that important? Because you're not going back as a slave. With Christ, you don't go back as a slave. You're free indeed. Free indeed. This is amazing to me. And I love how he says, perhaps the reason he was separated. Think about this. I want to paint you a picture. Phil Fisher loves when I paint pictures. Think about this for a minute. Paul led Philemon to Christ in the Colossian church. Then Onesimus runs away to Rome, not super close. Stumbles upon Paul. Paul leads him to Christ. And then now he's sending him back to the one he first led to Christ. You can't tell me that happened by accident. You can't tell me that happened by coincidence. I love what Jeremy tells me sometimes. God's connecting dots, right? God's connecting dots. This is exactly what he's doing with Philemon and Onesimus right here. And Paul, he's all connecting dots. Why? Because God cares about people. This is what I see here, is God cares about Onesimus. God cares about Philemon. God cares about Paul so much that he can even do something that would be impossible to do on their own. This is so amazing. And why is this so powerful, church? Why is this simple couple of verses so powerful? Because it doesn't matter the things you used to do. It matters who you are now. What does that mean? If you used to be a drug addict, guess what? If you have Christ, you're a child of God. You're not a drug addict anymore. If you're a drunkard, guess what? If you have Christ, you're no longer a drunkard anymore. You're a child of God. Amen? If you have sin in your life, you're no longer defined by that sin in your life. Who are you defined by? You're defined by Jesus Christ. And there's no one better. There's no one who's more powerful to establish you than Jesus Christ. Who can change your name. You were once a sinner, but now a saint. Amen? Amen. Come on, church. Amen. You were once a slave dead in your sins. I'm going to keep repeating this because I want to be an encouragement to you this morning. You were once dead in your sins, but God made you alive in Jesus Christ. That is an impossible thing. God has transformed you. He's made you new. He's turned you into a child of God. Impossible. Impossible, but nothing is impossible with Christ Jesus. I hope, church, listen to me. I hope when someone comes into the house of God and they give their life to Jesus Christ, you no longer view them how they once were. You no longer view them as a drug addict or a drunkard or a sinner or all the list keeps going on. You don't view them as that. Who do you view them as? A child of God. And this is what Paul is trying to persuade Philemon to understand, that when Onesimus comes back to you, he's not coming back as a runaway slave. He's coming back as a brother in Jesus Christ. I hope we view our brothers and sisters like that. You're no longer a sinner, but a child of God. Live like it. God's not giving you all these rules so that he'll just be a burden to you or a master to you or whatever, but rather so that you will live an abundant life in Jesus Christ, in Christ alone. Only God can do this. Only God can do it. What does that mean? Listen to me. These are all good things. And if you do it, that's good. For a very brief time. Meaning you can quit drugs without Christ. You can quit drinking without Christ. But again, ultimately, that's meaningless. Why is it meaningless? Listen to this closely. Because whether you do a good thing here for a moment, but without Christ, all that comes to an end. But with Christ, it actually has meaning because it lasts forever. This is why that's so important. It's a good thing if you're able to do those things, because those things aren't good for you. But ultimately, it's meaningless without the Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope your testimony, I hope that's your testimony this morning, is that the Lord has completely changed my life. This is what he's done with Onesimus. No longer a slave, but he's free. Whether he's free in the world's eyes, that doesn't matter. Whether he's free, even in Philemon's eyes, it wouldn't even matter. Because why? Because all that matters is we're free in Christ's eyes. Amen? Amen. He's very dear to me, but even dearer to you both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. Paul loved both of these people. And again, like I said, this book here really was the kind of foundation to abolishing slavery. Don't get me wrong, there's still slavery in the world. Don't be fooled. There's still slavery in the world. But for the most part, there's not much more than what there used to be. Why? Because it's built on the foundation of the Word of God. All those people that were slavery abolishers, or, you know, I forget how what the term is. What did they build it on? They built it on the Word of God. They built it on this book. Because you can make a law, a good law, but if hearts don't change, it doesn't really mean anything. I love what an old preacher would say. Is that we can clip branches here or there, but they'll grow back. But the gospel takes an axe to the roots. What does that mean? That means the gospel can actually cut the roots of sin in your life. It can actually cut discrimination and race and all those barriers that we have. Cuts them with an axe where it won't grow back. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. That is amazing. Verse 17, it says, so if you consider me a partner, welcome me, or welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. See, Paul here is confident that Philemon is going to do what is right. Not only what he asked, but more. What is that more? Is that he's actually going to send Onesimus back. This is what he says. He says that I may have some benefit from you. Who is he talking about? He's talking about Onesimus. He wants Onesimus to come back. But Onesimus has got to make it right first. He's got to go back to Philemon. I love how he says in verse 20, he says, I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. What's he telling Philemon? Philemon, I heard about how you refreshed all the Lord's people. I heard about how you are refreshing God's people. Now he says, refresh me. Refresh me. Do what I've asked. But don't do it because I tell you to. But do it because you want to actually give him back to me. And this is, I can't help but see Christ in all this picture. I can't help but see Christ. It says in verse 18, if he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. This is how we know that Paul really loved Onesimus. And how you sacrificially loved Onesimus. This is an awesome picture of how we should be in the church. We should want to stand in the gap for people. Amen? Amen. But where do I see Christ? It says, I, Paul, am he says, if he has done you any wrongs or owes you anything, charge it to me. What did Christ do for us? Our sin debt was so big, so massive. You couldn't pay it. You stand before God with a debt that's too big to pay. But what did Christ do? He said, charge it to me. Amen, church? Amen. He was hung on the cross for you and I. And says, it is finished. It is done. What is done? Your sin debt has been paid. It's been finished. It's gone. It's no more. That's an amazing thing to know, that your sin debt is wiped away. It's white as snow. This is an amazing thing, church. An amazing thing. You've been transformed. You've been transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been transformed. Are you living like it? Why is that important? Why is it important to live like you've been transformed? Because if you don't live like you've been transformed, I would be hard pressed to imagine that God's probably not using you. If God has transformed you, but you're saying, no, I want to live just like I used to, I bet you God's not really using you like he wants to use you. We serve a God that transforms, that restores relationships. This is what we see right here. A slave and a master. No longer a slave and a master, but brothers in Christ. That can only be done by the power of God. That can only be done through Christ. So why do we keep going back? We're getting a little serious, church. If you've actually been transformed in your life, if Christ actually bought you with his blood, why do you keep running back to the sin in your life? Why do you keep going back to your old life? Can I say you're probably not fully trusted in Christ? That might be difficult to hear, but it is the truth. Because I've been there in my life. And God has hit me many times. What are you doing? Don't you know I've transformed you? Don't you know I've made you new? Why do you look like your old self? Why do you look like your old self? Let me encourage you with this passage. I saw this passage growing up many times when I was in youth group. It was plastered right on the wall. Plastered right on the wall. Romans 12:1-2, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen, church? Amen. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Why? Because you've been transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you don't be conformed by the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you want the world to change, it starts with us. If you want the world to look different, if you want the world to look more like Christ, it starts with us. It starts with a transformed believer, a changed believer. There's a lot of evil stuff in the world. A lot of evil stuff. And it will remain that way until Christ comes back. But a believer, his job is to shed light on the darkness, is to shed light on evil, goodness on evil. And if a believer stops doing that, how could we ever expect the world to get any better? How could we expect anybody to come to Christ if we don't live as if we've been changed by Christ? I'm pushing us today just a little bit to actually get our lives right with God. Why? There's quite a few people here today. Can you imagine what the church could do with a body of transformed believers who love their brothers and sisters in Christ, who cares for the lost and the brokenhearted? Can I just tell you this, and what maybe I see in the future if we do these things? We won't have enough seats in this place. Is that not your hope, church? It should be. Why? Because it's God's hope. That all might be saved. And he was so sure of that hope that he sent his son, Jesus, to die for you and I so that we might have hope. Amen, church? Amen. See, you might be in the middle of sin right now. You might have sinned before you came in the door of the house of God. Let God transform you. Maybe you got a hard time loving and forgiving people in your life, restoring relationships in your life. Let God transform your life. Amen, church? Amen. But maybe you're here today and you've lost your joy in the Lord. You lost your joy in your salvation. Let God transform your life. But most importantly, maybe you're here today and you don't have Christ. The Bible says you're dead in your sins, in your trespasses. Let God transform your life. There's nothing better. Amen, church? Amen. Let's stand.